Are you ready to join me in transforming fear to freedom? That's the objective of the show. Are you ready to explore with me and my guests? Are you ready to get into the deep and play? This is where it's at, and that's what it's all about. No medical advice here. Use discernment and decide for yourself if the information is right for you. All views and opinions expressed on this show belong to the individual and are not necessarily shared with the producer of the show. Want more details? Go to letsgetrealchattingwithcatherine.com. Now let's get real and have some fun. Who are we going to explore with today? Come on with me and let's get into the deep. To Let's Get Real, chatting with Catherine. Another exciting show and adventure. We're going to be chatting with Adam Lehman, and he is one of the speakers at the International Kinesiology Conference being held in Banff, Alberta, Canada, September 23rd to the 27th. And I have committed as a media partner to bring you as many interviews of the different speakers ahead of time so you get a taste of what's going to happen at the actual conference. Meet some of the people, and for those of you who aren't able to attend, I'm going to be on site so I can bring you that more information, what's going on, and maybe capture some more interviews as well and take a look at the vendors and some exciting things going on. These are exciting times to be living in. So, and I can't think of anything more exciting than having a chat today with one of the speakers, Adam Lehman. You can read his full bio on lgrcc.com. He is also known as Kinesio Guy. So, and he speaks all over the world. He is a teacher to the practitioners, people who want to expand whatever they're doing in their regular practice right now, muscle testing, as adding it to it, or people who want to start off in that area. So I want to find out how he does that, who he's teaching and what the results are and why get into kinesiology, how did he get into it, and what got him excited about it. So let's get into this chat right now. Don't forget to subscribe, share it with your friends, and let people know this conference is happening and that it's open to the public. If you want more information on the conference itself, all of the details are on their website, www.celebrate2015.com. The registration's there, it's open to the public, the speakers are there, the schedule, as well as the there's some workshops that are happening before and after that you can check into as well. So there's lots going on and it's going to be an exciting time. So yeah, let's get into this chat right now with Adam Lehman on Let's Get Real, chatting with Catherine. Energy. Yeah. So
there you go.
All right, we're back on Let's Get Real, chatting with Catherine, and today my guest is Adam Lehman, and he is also known as a Kinesio Guy, which is kind of cool because this is the International Kinesiology Conference 2015, and he's going to be a speaker there, so I thought we would get a little pre-chat and find out what this is all about. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thanks, Catherine. It's nice to be here.
It is. And you're all the way in California, and I'm in Alberta, and we've got a windy day. Have you got a sunny California day?
It's a beautiful, sunny California day, absolutely.
We should have
someday it might rain again, but, you know.
We should have a big old orange there. I always think of oranges when I think of California.
Well, I'm in Northern California, so that's not, you know, most of the oranges are down south, so I'm wine country.
Ah, okay. Or even better.
Not the grapes, exactly.
Yeah. So I like to kind of, because kinesiology is not, I mean, yes, more and more people know about it, but I was quite surprised at when I was talking to different people about this kinesiology conference and people said, what is kinesiology? And so that kind of tells me where we're at. We have a bit of a ways to go to getting this to be more mainstream. So I like to start with, did you have that question? What drove you to finally look into kinesiology?
Okay, well, that's two different topics. I'm going to go with the first one because it's one of my favorite topics. And, you know, because kinesiology is very misunderstood and even often by people who have learned it. You know, and so when we're first learning, inevitably, we go out and we tell our friends and our family, yeah, I took this cool class and it's muscle testing, it's kinesiology. And they go, well, what's kinesiology? And then it's kind of like, well,
Yes, exactly.
It's a difficult thing to explain. So, but I've been doing it for 30 years now, so I feel like I've come up with a pretty good understanding of the work. And so the first thing that I would say about that is that a really important thing to understand about kinesiology being the use of muscle testing. There are university degrees you can take in kinesiology, but that is a different thing, and that sets people up for careers in like sports physiology and teaching in schools and things like that. So the kinesiology we're talking about is the use of muscle testing. And so the thing to understand about that, with all the kinesiology modalities that there are, is that kinesiology is not a healing modality. You know, a lot of times when I say I do kinesiology and somebody will say, oh, is that like massage? Well, no. Is it like reflexology? Is it like Reiki? You know, all of those things are healing modalities. And the reason kinesiology isn't like any of them is because kinesiology is not a healing modality.
Right.
It's a communication tool. So muscle testing is a means of communicating with the body in order to get information from the body about what it wants in order to go through its own innate healing process.
So it would be a complementary to all these other healing modalities, perhaps. It would be a complementary tool to use to ask the body, what does it need? Then a practitioner might use, because as I was reading your website, now you're teaching this to practitioners to kind of complement something they're already doing in a healing. Would that be an accurate application of it?
Well, it can go either way. I teach people who have never done anything else and are just interested in starting something in the healing arts in general. Or
part, so you're teaching it to chiropractors and
I teach to people that have no experience, and I teach to people who have a lot of experience. So it's open across the board. But what I would say about you said it's complementary to those other modalities. I would say it's an integrator. Mm. Kinesiology is the ultimate integrator. You know, if we're looking at the natural healing arts, we start with sort of an underlying philosophy. But the underlying philosophy of natural healing arts is that the body is designed to heal itself. Mm-hmm. And when it's not doing that, then there's something blocking that. And so what kinesiology allows for is for the practitioner, it gives the practitioner the opportunity to identify where those blockages exist, which can be across the board, physical, nutritional, emotional, or energetic. And then allows the practitioner to work to identify what the cause of the blockage is, so that we work with the root causes rather than just symptomology. And the third thing, after you've got that a little bit sorted out, is to ask the body, and gives the body the opportunity to say exactly what it wants to unblock the blockage. And that's where it gets fun, because the body can say that it wants anything from the entire world of the natural healing arts, only somewhat limited by a practitioner's experience and any particular legal aspects.
Well, for the person who doesn't, who this is very new to, you're saying that the body knows exactly what it needs. And you're not just talking about the muscle testing. I just want to be clear here. The muscle testing can reveal from the body if it needs something emotional, if it needs something physical, if it needs something, some other, like could be nutrition, it could be, the body actually knows specifically what it needs. That's an intelligence beyond what a lot of people think of as their bodies having.
Yes. So there's two parts to that. You know, your body is constantly in touch with everything that's going on. It's just that that information isn't communicated to our conscious level. So, you know, the body does two things really well. It's designed to heal itself, but it's also very good at compensating for things when things aren't going the way they're supposed to. So, for instance, if you have a particular enzyme that's not functioning properly and therefore some biochemical process is not working, your liver isn't detoxing something properly, it tries to find a workaround and it compensates for that.
Right.
And so that allows us to function. You know, similarly to, you know, you sprain your ankle, you limp for 3 weeks, that's a compensation. But down the road, from all that limping, you're putting more pressure on the opposite knee. And so then all of a sudden, a couple of months later, you start having a knee problem, and you're wondering, well, why do I have this knee problem? But that's going on throughout the body all the time and isn't always conscious. So muscle testing, I often refer to muscle testing as the voice of the subconscious.
Okay.
So that's that communication tool. It's the ability to communicate with those parts of the brain and the general body mind in a way that the body has the opportunity to say, okay, here I have this problem, here I have this blockage, let's do something about it. So, yeah, there is an innate intelligence to that, and the body is always working with that. On the other hand, sometimes imbalances like that can go on for so long that the body kind of accepts it as the status quo and it no longer recognizes it as a problem. That's where the skill of the practitioner comes in, to be able to ask the right kinds of questions of the body using this voice of the subconscious and try and flush that out a little bit.
And that's where you come in as the someone to train the practitioner to understand what might be different layers of questions or that kind of thing. Is that what one of your...
And when I say questions, you know, the language of the body is electromagnetic. And so the more you can ask questions in its own language, the better direct communication you're going to get. So I tend to try and use... So, for instance, acupressure points are electromagnetic points.
Right.
And the Chinese have figured out all, you know, thousands of years ago what a lot of different points mean. So I can touch certain points, and if the muscle changes when I put a little pressure on it, then it's telling me, okay, here's an imbalance here, and that gives me a path to start to follow along. So I tend to try and use that kind of languaging rather than actually asking verbal questions, which then get translated in other ways and have different connotations and can come up with some distorted kinds of answers sometimes.
Okay. Just hold it there. Hold it there. The audio is fine, but your visual is frozen.
You're frozen as well.
Oh, there we go.
You just popped back.
Yep, so did you. There we go. Good. So
I've been told I'm better when I'm frozen anyway.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's right.
Well, you know.
Well,
depending.
Well,
I suppose it depends what facial expression you got me in that moment in. But yeah.
Well, the thing that I'm hearing here is that it's one thing to know muscle testing, kinesiology, but then there would be another layer, because if I ask my body the questions that are not going, it's not going to be very helpful if I don't have a bit of an understanding of the health and wellness of the body or how it functions, because I won't be asking the right questions. So I'm wondering if just for the sake, like understanding kinesiology and taking a course on kinesiology itself, would it be practical to just have that? I mean, it would seem like you would need some other layers of health understanding, physiology understanding.
The more you know, the deeper you can go with things. But I am also, I've seen amazing things happen from my own personal experience and people that I've taught or have been taught by others who have only done a weekend course and just using what they know, as long as they, you know, they become a little proficient in what they know and they do that. You know, it is an energy technique. So you can do wonderful things with just a little bit.
Yeah. It's you like know, the having nice a thermometer to check your temperature. I mean, there's something, it's a tool. Then what you do with it, that information is goes from there. Okay, so let's go back to I want to know how
Just because for me, you know, as I went through literally thousands of hours of trainings over the years.
Yes.
It was fascinating. You know, it was great. You know, each time I took a class, it opened three doors to something else. That, oh, that's cool. Now I want to go learn more about that. So it wasn't a matter of, you know, having to learn. It was a matter of wanting to learn. Mm-hmm. And the more I learned, the more, you know, the richer the experience got, and the more I got to be a participant in the process, rather than just, you know, do what I learned and follow the thing, which works. I mean, it works and it works great.
Mm-hmm. But there's something very, very wonderful about when we understand that our bodies are communicating with us and that we could definitely change, just maybe change, tweak something and maybe have a way better quality of life just by that little understanding, you know, communicating with our body instead of thinking we are our body. So it's a little bit of a different mindset. But so I really am curious, what got you started in this, on this journey? Because I like think people like to sort of have that personal aspect too.
Origins.
Yes.
Well, it's similar to a lot of people's. It was through my own health challenges, which developed over, you know, many years. And I grew up in a household that, you know, was strictly Western medical oriented. We had our family doctor and all that other kind of stuff. And I was given massive amounts of antibiotics over the years and all kinds of other interesting things. And it all took its toll combined with certain lifestyle aspects of being a recording engineer in New York City in the 70s and 80s and all of that kind of stuff. And I finally figured out, you know, okay, this is wearing me out and I need to do something. And I knew I didn't want to go back to the family doctor because they took blood tests and then said, you know, your blood's fine, don't worry about it. It's like, well, if my blood's fine, how come I don't feel well, you know? And what are we? And what can we do about it? And don't give me more antibiotics because it doesn't work.
It's not helping.
I figured that out. It took a long time, but I figured it out. So, I went off to a friend of mine who had gone to massage school and then became a chiropractor, and you know, had been in the desert and ate bark and things like that, and said, "Okay, Bob, what do I do?" And he sent me to a chiropractor on the west side of New York City, which is where I grew up and lived at the time, and she did this wacky muscle testing thing, you know, and I didn't know anything about chiropractors, kinesiology, anything. It was just, okay, I'm going to go do this, and it was crazy. I, you know, laid on the table, and she put a tomato on my stomach, and I couldn't hold my leg up anymore. I'm like, oh, Bob, I'm going to get you for this, but
she's having a conversation with your body, and you're just an observer.
Exactly. But that's the thing. I observed that when the tomato was on my stomach, I couldn't hold my leg up. And when it wasn't, I could. And it's like, okay, this is really weird, but I can't deny my experience of it. And right. So, you know, she took me off food and I got better.
Okay, so you became a breatharian after that?
Something like that, just about, you know. My diet got heavily restricted for a while.
Yeah, as you go through those, as you go through the shifts and as you learn, I mean, it's so exciting to see what's possible for everyone. It's possible, you know, the health and wellness is, it's not out of our hands anymore. And that's what I love about this whole concept of having tools so that, like I say, I can take my own temperature at home. I can check my oxygen level at home now. There's technology, there's tools. But these are tools that really don't cost you anything. They're just as far as, yes, once you get the learning, and of course, if you're going to take courses, there's going to be an exchange of energy cost in that. But I mean, overall, it's every learning is just going to expand your toolbox of what is possible. Now, when I was reviewing your website, just to explore a little bit deeper, I noticed you had some different, Touch for Health is one of the things that you teach, applied physiology. But then I got really excited because I saw you had this holographic Touch for Health. And so I would love it if you could maybe expand on some of the things that you are teaching, some of what these things are, because, you know, fancy words always get me. Holographic, woo!
Well, probably, you know, what I'm most known for around the world is teaching applied physiology. Okay. I taught that for over 15 years, at least, and it's a very comprehensive and extensive kinesiology program and education. And it was developed by a guy named Richard Utt out of Tucson, Arizona, who left us a few years ago. And one of the models that he created was a holographic model, a model. And the only one that I'm aware of, I mean, you know, the whole aspect of the hologram is kind of tossed around a lot in terms of, you know, a model of the universe, which it is. In a lot of ways. And so that word is often used in a way to just acknowledge that, you know, we are living in a holographic universe. But Richard actually figured out a way to apply that in a conscious approach to the body. And that was awesome. And, you know, I taught that for many years and still do. But what I noticed was that there are other ways to apply that model. And in Touch for Health is a little more of a, you know, that's kind of where a lot of people begin in their path in kinesiology. Touch for Health was the original layperson kinesiology that basically started this whole thing. And so it was just a matter of looking at the Touch for Health model. And at a conference many years ago, I created this idea of holographic Touch for Health and presented a way of doing Touch for Health, but bringing in this holographic model. And essentially, a holographic model means that you're looking at relationships. You're always looking at relationships with two things. You know, a hologram is a three-dimensional model.
Right.
And the reason we see in three dimension is because we have two eyes. And we hear in three dimensions because we have two ears. And you create a hologram with two lasers that meet and collide and do what they do. I don't want to go into the whole
interesting
thing about
though.
That
yeah.
here time-wise. But so that's the concept. So, so in a holographic approach to the body, we're always looking at a relationship of two things. And in kinesiology, there's a heavy-duty integration with the Chinese medicine model, so the meridians and all of that for in the body. And so with a holographic model, we're always looking at the relationship between two meridians, which provides a massive amount of extra information, as opposed to finding one meridian, doing something to balance it, and then moving on and finding another one. So
right.
Instead, we focus on a meridian, find another meridian that relates to it and has, you know, an imbalance, presumably, since that's the model we're working on.
Yes.
And then do something about that relationship. And that has a much bigger effect on the body because a hologram has way more data and connects everything to everything. You know, if you cut up a holographic plate into lots of little pieces and then shine the laser on one piece, you get that three-dimensional image of what you took the picture of. Even though you've cut it up into lots of little pieces, you still get the whole image.
Yeah.
Every piece of hologram contains the whole.
Right.
Similar to DNA. So by working in a holographic model in the body, we're working on a specific relationship, but it's still also affecting the whole. Okay. So I created holographic touch for health to get the model and add that element to it.
Can you just repeat that? Sorry.
So I took the touch for health model, and Matthew Fee, who's the son of the originator of touch for health, really egged me on to do this. He saw my presentation years ago and said, yeah, you really should turn that into a workshop. Took me about 7 years. And I thought, okay, I'll do that. And so it was a matter of just taking that model of looking at relationships of more than one meridian and applying it to the touch for health model of balancing to create that kind of integrated aspect.
So who are you teaching these like you're speaking at the conference, but on top of that, your workshops, are they mostly to lay people or are they mostly to practitioners of chiropractors, naturopaths, what have you, Reiki masters, that kind of thing? Who's gravitating to this and or who do you design them for?
Yep.
Everyone?
Anybody that wants, the lay person aspect means that anybody is, if you start at the ground floor with the very first class, and I kind of redesigned the initial applied physiology class to be more accessible to people who have no training at all, then it's open to anybody. And at the same time, I also get lots of students who have either other healing arts experience or other kinesiology experience and are looking to expand their toolkits and their abilities and all that kind of stuff, or bring kinesiology into their
Well, I was just
sphere.
Wondered if there was a, sometimes there's a prerequisite, like you need to have a bit of a science background, a biology background, or some kind of understanding. Good, that's great.
Touch for Health, the original Touch for Health model, John Thee's vision was to make kinesiology accessible to everybody, and so that people, in their own homes would be balancing each other as a means of simply helping to maintain better health and avoid having to go to the doctor. So it was presented originally in this way of, you don't need to know anatomy and physiology, and you don't need to know all of these other things.
Right.
Jardut took a little bit of a different approach with applied physiology. Well, it was designed a little bit more for people who knew they wanted to be professional practitioners.
Okay.
And while it covers the entire realm, going up to, working with chakras and energy stuff, as well as physical stuff and emotional stuff and all of that, there is a little more of an emphasis on the advantage of learning about the body, learning anatomy and physiology, knowing, what diabetes is. So if somebody comes in, you have a range, you have kind of an idea of certain kinds of questions to ask in the body's language and which muscles to check and things like that. So, but it is a holistic approach. So the idea, starting with Touch for Health is you balance the body, and the body has then the better ability to access its own innate healing process.
Right.
And do that. We're going back to that initial concept, the body's designed to heal itself. And we are simply facilitators of that healing process and trying to help people empower themselves to do that on their own.
And do you find that there's more interest today by what I'll call orthodox science medicine to actually learn this kind of, is there an interest so that they can have that better communication before they give the antibiotic? Say, it would be really practical to ask the body if it needs it, wants it, or if there's another option. That would be cool.
That would be cool. I have not personally seen that very much.
Okay. Well,
They are essentially being forced to be more open to alternative medicine, which I prefer to call natural medicine.
Mm-hmm.
on that level, kinesiology is still just not really part of that picture, even in the natural medicine world. A little bit here, a little bit there. But yeah, that would be great. It's such an amazing tool that, and if people, especially in the medical community, would start to understand it and utilize it from that understanding, similar to, as you know, the stuff I was talking about at the beginning.
Yes.
Then yeah, I mean, it has amazing capabilities and potential, and could save, you know, people lots of money from taking bad medicine. You know, doctors, when they can't figure something out, the tendency is to like, okay, well, let's try this one and see how it goes.
Yes.
You know, and yes, obviously it doesn't always go great.
Well, even I'm thinking of children, you know, they haven't got that long of a history. So, you could use it for allergy testing instead of submitting them to all these things to, you know, and bad experiences with different things. And you could use muscle testing and you'd know as a parent in the kitchen before you even gave it to them. That would be a potential for it. I'm just curious, what in your experiences working with people, what has surprised you the most? Or have you had any big aha, like, wow, over these that you can share that, you know?
What has surprised me the most?
Yeah.
It's an interesting way of putting that question.
Just curious if you've had any big, like, wow, this blows my mind kind of thing.
Oh, over 30 years, I've had lots of those.
Yeah, well, it'd be great to share a few of those with the audience, okay, to, you know. Because if it was like that for you, it probably will be that way for other people. It's, you know, like, okay, now I get it. That's a big aha.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've worked with a lot of different stuff over the years and seen a lot of interesting things. You know, on the women's health side of things, that's always an interesting one, working with women who have a variety of, you know, menstrual issues and menopause issues and things like that, and just how quickly you can make change and you know, have an effect on somebody's life.
Yeah.
And the thing about that, and one of the big ahas over the years is that when you help somebody change their life, but, you know, we very much work on the self-responsibility mode. So it's the person that's changing their own life, and
absolutely,
I'm just an assistant in that process.
Right.
But when that happens, it's a much bigger picture than just that person's life, because you change that person's life and it changes the life of all the people around that person who are close to that person. And so I, you know, when I get, you know, certain opportunities and somebody, I, you know, happen to meet somebody who knows somebody that was seeing me and had a big change in some way in their life. And you know, and they're like, you have no idea what a difference that's made in our household and
exactly,
things like that, you know.
When you have a sick person in a household, it affects everyone and the greater family and the community and the works, because it just has that. And the opposite is true. When you have healthy, vibrant people in your household, everybody's more creative, productive, and happier and more harmonious, and the whole works, right? So I had that sense that you might have, and you know, something, were you finished that thought, or did you want to go?
I finished that thought, you know, I mean, you know, you, and that stretches out, you know, that, you know, people who, for instance, have had like brain injuries and other debilitating scenarios, or kids with cerebral palsy who can't feed themselves, and you were able to make enough of a change so that now they can at least get their own spoon to their mouth. And you're thinking, okay, well, that's cool, but it's
that's
much
cool.
Cooler than you can imagine, because of the difference that makes, you know.
Yes.
Or if you help a kid learn a little better, So, you know, so that he's not fighting all the time to, you know, no, I'm not going to do my homework. And now learning becomes a little easier and he wants to learn and he starts doing things. The whole family structure changes. Mm-hmm. You know, any number of scenarios like that. And another one that actually not to be left out is elderly people, even in their dying process. You know, I had a client who came to me, he had a fatal disease process going on. He was on dialysis 3-4 times a week, wasn't able to work. The doctor, you know, this was like, I think in August 1 year, the doctor said, you know, start getting your things in order. He'd been through chemo just because they didn't know what else to do. And it was, you know, and they said, you know, by Christmas, you know, you're not going to be here anymore.
Right.
And by Christmas, after seeing me for 3 months, he was working. He was hiking 3 to 5 miles a day. He was, you know, going on work trips and actually flying again. He was still doing the dialysis. He still had to do that. And the process was still going on. But his quality of life was completely different, which changed the whole family structure and everything else like that. And then, you know, unfortunately, he still did pass away several months even after that. But when he did so, it was a fast, gentle process.
And the lead up was much smoother and more joyful. Like you say, the quality doesn't have to be so.
He had hopes. He had dreams. He was still always talking about, you know, his mission and now he was able to keep working on it and all those kinds of things. So that kind of stuff, you know, and even at the funeral, which I went to, and his wife came up to me when she heard that I was there, and it was like, oh, you know, we had never actually met. You're right. The kinesiologist. I was like, yeah, you know, she was just overly thankful and appreciative and, you know.
Well, that's the kind of thing that makes it all worthwhile, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. A question just occurred to me. When I'm thinking of muscle testing as the indicator, you know, you're communicating with your body, and the rise in chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and it just kind of hit me like a brick here at the back of my head just as we were sitting here. And I'm thinking, if the muscle testing is communication and we're seeing this, you know, a more stressful world and a more toxic environment, and we're seeing a rise in this basic muscle fatigue, is that an indicator of a body's trying to communicate, not being heard, and just saying, I've had enough, or what? I mean, that is kind of interesting.
Well, sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the, aside from the direct sort of physical and even energetic indicators that muscle testing provides, there's always the metaphorical aspect.
Mm.
And, you know, we definitely work a lot on metaphorical levels where our bodies work because of, you know, whether it's with our thinking process or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
For, you know, I work a lot with people with self-esteem issues. I personally think self-esteem issues are epidemic in our society.
Yes.
And people that think really poorly of themselves, and particularly who turn things on themselves, they're the ones that might tend to have more autoimmune diseases, because autoimmune diseases, you know, are representation of the body attacking itself inappropriately.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a metaphor there for sure. Those kinds of things. I've lost the thread on the question now.
Well, I was just talking about the overload and in chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, yeah. And that is the body communicating? And you're saying yes, it's metaphorically.
On some level. And then, I mean, the thing with those things is just the massive amounts of toxicity that, you know, and the body at some point gets overwhelmed, and those are the expressions of that, and they can't figure out, you know, how to treat it specifically in the medical community, because it's just a huge symptomatic picture that's based on a overload that, and that overload can come from any number of different sources.
Right.
Which includes emotional, but also includes a certain amount of toxicity. My colleague and friend Philip Rafferty would be sitting here telling you about how fluoride, you know, in the water is poisoning everybody, and you take that away and people's fibromyalgia will go away, you know, in a high percentage of the time. Mm. Things like that. So, you know, not to mention just all the other toxicity, and of course diet, sugar is huge, and you know,
using kinesiology as a tool, you can find out exactly what your particular, because that's exactly. The key. You may have this thing with the tomato, somebody else won't, but it might be something else, a raspberry,
right,
or whatever. So that's the key, is to talk to your body and get the answer.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're
right. So everybody's unique, and you know, so you know, the use of muscle testing is the most holistic approach I have ever found, because it gives the body the ability to communicate about physical, emotional, biochemical, and energetic things. One from column A, one from, you know, in the order it needs it in order to restore balance so it can go through its own innate healing process. And, you know, when you don't know what's going on, here's the opportunity, because as the voice of the subconscious, you have the opportunity to communicate with it and try things and find out what is the thing that's causing stress. And, you know, whether it's using vials of various foods and nutrients and toxins and things like that, and then using those same things to find out, well, what strengthens the body, and
yeah,
and identify all that and figure out what the picture is, and combine with whatever the emotional bits are, because anything that's chronic is going to have an emotional component as well.
Yeah, and this is very empowering though for people to realize it's not like they don't have, I mean, each person has that responsibility to their own body, and you're giving, you know, this is a tool. So you're going to be talking about this at the conference, which is open to the public. Are you doing any workshops or anything that you want people to know about that are coming up or that they can participate in online or in person or anywhere?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm not doing any workshops around the conference due to my other schedule. I didn't have the opportunity to do that. I'm in the process of teaching Touch for Health for the first time in a really long time to a group here in Sonoma. I'm teaching applied physiology in Japan. I'll be in Europe in the spring teaching holographic Touch for Health and applied physiology there as well. I'm also a heart math trainer and facilitator.
Okay.
So that's finding its way into my programs. I'm, you know, in the process of developing really a new sort of larger scale program.
Okay. Yeah, that's exciting.
Let it cat out the bag there.
Yeah. Well, that's a really exciting too. That. A lot of people are starting to understand that connection as well. So,
yeah.
And when you do these courses and wherever you're at, is that information available on your website?
Ideally, it is. I'm also in the process of reconstructing an entirely new website to be a little more coherent, let's say, with, you know, the direction I'm going in.
Sure.
But there's a huge amount of information on my current website, kinesiohealth.com, and the schedule is not fully in the scheduling place, but there's stuff coming up.
Okay.
But there's lots of information about the courses. So anybody is free to, you know, email me or call me and inquire. And of course, I'm available to come teach to places if somebody wants to sponsor a class. That's what I do a lot of.
That's what I was also going to ask for people who are watching this who would like you to come to their community. Obviously, you're traveling, you're going to Japan, you're in California, and you're coming to Banff. So, so people can connect with you, and your email and everything is on the website as well. I'm going to put the website link right on the video so people will have access to that, as well as they can meet you at the conference where you'll be speaking as well at the Inbound. So
yeah, I'll be there for the whole conference, and I like to be accessible, so I'm happy to talk to anybody about anything.
That's fantastic. This is great information, and I'm so grateful that it's coming to the public, and it's you know, people can get past the old stereotypes of this is just for certain people to understand, you know, or it's woo woo, or it's, you know, when it's right. Yeah.
So when I teach, you know, that like the things that I was talking about at the beginning,
yes,
those kinds of underlying understandings and philosophies, in my mind, those are critical for people to become really good practitioners. And so that's always an underpinning of my teaching, is that underlying understanding of what you're doing and creating models, because models create the framework of understanding of what you're doing. So, you know, when I teach a beginning class, one of the first things I generally say is that, you know, this isn't just a class in how to do kinesiology, it's a class in how to think and understand kinesiology.
So you have the whole picture. So it's hands-on. You actually teach people to do it, but to understand it.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got the both.
And that's one of the great things about it, is you know, you learn something, you practice it, and which means you also get practice on, so you get to experience it at the same time. And,
that's,
you know,
fantastic.
And then you're encouraged, of course, to go do it on others, you know, right away. Just start doing it. That's how... A, there's people that need it, and B, that's how you're going to get better at it.
Well, yes, and this is also how, you know, you get that whole more and more people, it becomes common, you know, like that we can actually have trust in ourselves and our ability to understand our bodies and not always have to turn it over to a higher authority, you know, doctor or whatever. And I'm not, you know, sometimes people think I'm saying negative things about the medical industry. I am not. But no. Think about it is an industry, and so their whole thing is about profit, and I think there's a place for what they do, which, I mean, I'm grateful for the amazing things that work that they do in orthodox medicine, but I also think that we're at a point in the planet where it's time we started to pay attention to our own bodies, and not just, you know, when I was growing up, we had Canada's food rules. This is what you were supposed to eat. Everybody was supposed to eat the same thing. And I was one in particular that didn't do well with those particular foods. But, you know, those were the rules. I mean, I remember the schools teaching them, the parents would say, but it says you must have this because this is what the Canadian government, Health Canada, told us. And it's like, okay, but now we're at the point where we get it. Our bodies just might be different. And my body never did follow rules. So,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So is there anything that we haven't covered that you really wanted to share today, Adam?
Well, I think we've covered a fair bit of ground. I would just say, you know, just following on from what you were saying and, you know, talking about that self-responsibility model, that the other aspect of that is the educational model. Mm-hmm. So when I'm working with somebody, I'm getting biofeedback through muscle testing. I mean, it's a hands-on biofeedback tool.
Right.
And so it's a matter of feeding that information that you get back to your client or person that you're working with, and as an educational thing, so that they can feel like they have the ability to take responsibility for their health. And then the choices, and because the choices at that point become theirs.
Yes.
You can tell them, you know, well, here are some things I'm finding. This is what your body's telling me. Here are some things we know, you know, sugar is bad for you or whatever it is, you know. Yeah. But we can't tell people what to do and what not to do because we're not licensed medical professionals. So, and besides, it's just a different model. And that sometimes gets lost. So it's a matter of understanding that it's a self-responsibility and self-empowerment model combined with you, the practitioner, also being an educator to help people and guide them towards making the choices that are going to be best for them, so that they fully understand that they can do this.
Yeah.
You know.
And help people. But also to also as the patient or the, you know, you yourself, you're not maybe a practitioner, but this is where you actually take back your own power and not being just told what to do, but to understand, no, I'm doing this. And maybe even taking it further is actually knowing why. You know, sometimes we say, no, I don't want that, or I don't like that, or I don't think, but you don't really know why. And sometimes it's nice to kind of go, actually, this is an informed no. This is an informed yes. And somehow that feels so much better to,
absolutely,
you know? Yeah. So,
and if for some reason a person doesn't do that, now that they know the information, well, then that's a whole nother thing to be looking at too, in terms of, well, why am I not making the choices that are clearly better for me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we all have those kinds of struggles too.
Yes, yes, we do. Absolutely.
Especially, you know, with, we all have pasts, and
we definitely do. And that's the thing. It's we don't know another person's path. We don't know what they're, you know. It's having that freedom to actually live how we want to live, and in a way that is now, you know, I think that's the difference, is now we know it's not just we're stuck with a path. Now we know we've got options and we are making choices. So
lots of paths to healing.
Yes, that is true. Well, thank you so much, Adam Lehman, for joining me today on Let's Get Real, chatting with Catherine. Oh, such a pleasure. Such a juicy conversation.
Well, thank you, Catherine. I have enjoyed it immensely, and appreciate you for doing this and putting the word out there. It's great.
Absolutely. And I look forward to meeting you at the conference, because I'm going to be on site doing some chats with people and bringing as much information to the public as I can on what's going on. So building some bridges. And for everyone watching, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Share this with your friends. You don't know who's going to benefit from this. I mean, it just could be that one person that's going to change their lives. So, and don't forget to go to the celebrate2015.com website for all the information on all the speakers and to read more about Adam as well. All right. Until next time, take care.
Thank you so much, Catherine.
Wasn't that amazing? Thank you to my guests for sharing with us today. Thank you for watching. Feel free to share the link. You can join us for live shows by going to letsgetrealchattingwithcatherine.com and listen to the replays from the show page, preview guests, and explore links to our Facebook fan page, WordPress blog, and more. We are creating an exquisite world. Until next time, take care.